What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Shots from the Winchester Podcast, brought to you by Greencastle Consulting, your nation's premier strategy execution firm. I'm your host, Al Green, and today we got a really cool episode. We're going to be talking to the former CFO of Greencastle Consulting, who is now the president of Greencastle Consulting, Eric Diamond.
I'm glad you finished that off. It's like, did I just get fired as I walked in here? Okay, so I still got a job. That's good. That's good. Just a new one. Yep.
I'm trying to be a little provocative. But thank you so much for being on the show. And this is our new podcast room that we just designed. Thank you, Eric, for your help with putting this all together. And we got this fun little palette wall back here. So we're going to start developing this over time. You'll start to see new things here, a little neon signs, everything like that. So we'll come back to that. But
I got to say, it's a great way to just highlight this transition and role, because the CFO and me walked in here a week or two ago. It's like, oh man, we're spending more money. We got to do stuff. But now my new role, I'm like, this is cool. This has helped drive the overall mission. This is my new role.
So yeah, absolutely. I'm so proud of that too. So let's jump in real quick and talk about you, because I don't know how much people actually know about you.
Sure.
In the company, we have a lot of new people that have been coming on board and stuff. So this is a good opportunity for you to kind of like let them know kind of a little bit who you are as the president, the new president of Greencastle. So for the listeners, let us know just a little bit about yourself, school, military background, since we're all veterans here.
Yeah, sure. So school-wise, I was very fortunate to get a full ride from Uncle Sam.
Nice.
Got an ROTC scholarship to a little school in the middle of Pennsylvania called Bucknell University. A small school, made a big splash when I was there in March Madness 2005-2006 time frame. So waiting for that, you know, renaissance to see them beat Kansas again. But yeah, we were on the map for a little bit while I was there, and that was fun. But nice. Yeah, military-wise, that was when I first put on the uniform. It was actually my first experience ever, was a bit of a surprise and a fun one. So I showed up, I'm still 17 years old, you know, getting checked into the dorm, class hasn't started yet. Someone from the administration, from the ROTC side, comes, you know, an NCO says, hey, you got to take and pass this physical fitness test first to get your scholarship activated. So if you fail, then we take your scholarship away.
And oh, wow.
You know, I'm moved into the dorm.
Yeah.
Right? I got no options, and I got no financial means to pay, so a little nervous. So I just go, and I do the whole thing, and I'm just, the run really had me nervous. I ran flat out as hard. I was in pretty good shape, but, some motivation. Talk about motivation. Everything I had, laid it all out on the table. First physical fitness test I already took for me. Threw up at the end of it. Yeah, that's how hard I pushed myself. So the NCO got a good laugh, and that's how I knew I was destined for greatness in the military, right?
Nice.
Yeah, and then you know, how I got to Greencastle actually is you know, in a roundabout way through that military service. So ended up, had the opportunity to go into the National Guard after school, which was great, because it kind of allowed me to lay into my civilian career in parallel to serving in the military the whole time. And it was through a connection, actually kind of through a Slumdog Millionaire-esque series of events that led to a mutual connection in the National Guard that worked for Greencastle, reached out and recruited me in.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. You know, at the time, I had probably the cushiest day job you can imagine before this came in. I was was working for the federal government. You talk work-life balance. You talk benefits. You talk – I mean, I did not think about work for 1 second when I was outside of work.
I
barely thought about it when I was at work. And so, you know, at the time, relatively small, relatively unknown firm pops up kind of out of nowhere, promising a lot more work and a lot less job stability. And I was like, sign me up. I had actually just finished my meticulous plans on how I was going to claw my eyeballs out at work at the federal government. So, you know, I was like, anything that promises like a sense of adventure and solving big problems and having a little bit more meaning. Took the leap, and the rest is history.
That's awesome. So that's a good piece to understand your character. Like, you want to be challenged.
And I think everyone that comes here does. I mean, that's kind of the call to action, is we solve big problems for big organizations. So
yeah, that's awesome. That brings me to this conversation with you about being the president now. Now, you were the CFO. How is this responsibility different now for you?
Yeah, so as the CFO, I was part of the senior leadership team. So in a lot of ways, I was already interested in influencing, you know, kind of touching all pieces of the company. But really, you know, as the name implies, it was much more, you know, my day-to-day responsibilities and accountability. It was a lot more focused on the financial and kind of administrative, called the back office side of the house here. So I did grow up, and I mean, this might be something not everyone knows, I did grow up in the consulting side for Greencastle, and the CFO was kind of a tour of duty that I just took. So I'm really thrilled to be kind of returning to the more all-encompassing view of making sure, you know, my job now is to take that strategic vision that we have and make sure that we have clear goals and clear accountability set, and to make sure that everybody across the organization has what they need, that we're properly resourced, right people in the right seats to hit those goals.
Nice, nice. You feel you're more suited in this position?
I mean, this love is, being the CFO, but yeah. You know, I'm very excited about this. Nice. I get to kind of reach out and touch and help out wherever you can, you know, across the whole organization. So
that's
very excited.
Really cool. I'm excited for you too. So one of the questions is why now?
Sure.
Why make this change now?
Yeah. So this is I'll kind of come back to that. This is the right time to do it, right? Mm. So if you think almost any organization can start with a kind of a single or person, a single founder, a co-founder, group of founders. Mm. And at that point, you have one, two people in the company. They have every role, right? Like, think about a single company founder, right? They are the CEO, but they're also the COO and CFO and the head of marketing and the head of HR. Mm. And they are the actual service deliverer. They are everything, right?
Right.
So as the company grows, you don't have the bandwidth to do that and you have to delegate. But it's actually a great opportunity for the company too, because at that point, you can specialize a bit more, right?
Mm.
So, I mean, just case in point with you doing the podcast now, the podcast actually started years ago with a consultant doing it.
Yeah.
The production value of what we do now is like leaps and bounds. No offense to the guy. I'm still good friends with the guy who started it.
Yeah.
But it's like the specialization that we can do, really, it's such a, it unlocks so much value there, right? So why now for Greencastle is we have had tremendous growth over the past 5 years. We've actually grown about 500% in the last 5 years.
That's impressive.
Right? And we have aspirations to do that again, right?
Yeah.
And so Joe, the CEO, and I got together and we talked about what is that going to take? How do we enable that? Do we have everything in place?
Mm.
And really the evolution of what's going on with this role and with Joe's role here is that we're further specializing, right? Joe has been both a visionary and integrator to date, and he's allowing me to kind of take on part of that role and really focus more so on that short and medium term of we have these goals set, getting the right people in the right place, so that he has the ability. You know, if you think about us as an organization, we're in the rainforest, we all got machetes, and we're chopping away trying to get to where we're going, right? Mm-hmm. It's my job to be in there and making sure that everyone's got machetes and that they're sharp and that, you know, people are being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm focused on that so that Joe can climb up to the top of the tree and get his head up above the canopy and see, like, hey, there's like a big river coming up or a big mountain. Like, we got to change directions to get to the top of that mountain. Mm. So Joe right now hasn't had the time to do that as much because he's been more in the day-to-day, and that's really the big evolution to help enable us to get to that next 500% growth.
That's great. I love how you broke that down too. Yeah. It's a very visual help.
Nice.
That's really good. Tell us, what's the difference between a president and a CEO?
Right. So that question, I don't want to say it's a loaded question, but it can be, it's almost like asking for a family, like what's the difference in the roles between the mother and the father?
Mm.
Like it's a big, it depends. It's as any family defines that and as any company defines that.
Mm.
But there certainly are kind of more industry norms around that, and it's kind of where you slice and dice the roles and responsibilities. Greencastle found many years ago that there's this great operating model that almost any company can run off of as it's growing called the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS.
Mm.
Lots of books written about it, highly recommend it. Really just streamlines a lot of what it takes to actually run a successful business, so you can focus on the important stuff, on your customers and on your people and things like that.
Right.
So the EOS model recommends a split, and they actually really don't focus on the term CEO or president.
Mm.
A lot of times they're almost vague by nature. There can be ego tied up in them, you know, you name it. So really the way that they define it is a visionary and an integrator, right? And those are much more descriptive terms. So Joe as the CEO is really our company's visionary. He has been and he'll continue to be. Mm. He says, where should we be going? Where should we be in 10 years? What are our core values? What defines our culture, right?
Mm.
And to the earlier points, like, how do we get up and make sure that, you know, what are the big industry trends, slow moving shifts, but are going to take us like a tidal wave that we need to get ahead of, and we need to plan years in advance and how we're going to fundamentally shift for that, right?
Mm.
The integrator's job is much more operations focused, day-to-day focus.
Mm.
Do people have clear goals, clear accountability? Have we clearly defined our processes? Are we following them, right?
You're right.
So that's really that. We talk about it internally as the visionary and the integrator, instead of the CEO and president. That's really my role as the integrator.
I love that. You're so great about getting breaking that down. That's really cool. Because even for me, I'm like, what is the difference? You know. So like, thank you for that. So another question is, what are the top priorities in the first months as president for you?
Yeah, so top priorities really are kind of what I just said, but specifically it's to better centrally document what all of our processes are in the company and who's responsible for doing them so that we can eventually, you know, improve upon that, streamline things, get more efficient in that way.
Yeah.
And that making sure that all those things are directly in support of some of the goals that we need to knock out for the year. Essentially, my job is every 1 year, make sure that we're hitting our goals for that year. It's making sure we're getting through that next pass of that rainforest, right? As long as we know Joe's pointing us in the right direction from overhead, all we got to do is keep hacking away, right? So my job is to just stay focused on that short term.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. That's a good look. How is AI impacting Greencastle right now? How is that changing business or our business at large?
Yeah, so artificial intelligence, obviously a huge buzzword that's been gaining a lot of traction over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And I think for good reason. The way I think about it is it's very much like the internet or the World Wide Web. Mm. You know, you heard about it in the early to mid 90s. Like, clearly there's something going on here, and clearly it's something pretty big. Who is the expert that can tell you exactly where the internet is going to be in the year 2000 when we're sitting here in the year 1995? That person doesn't exist. Bill Gates couldn't tell you that in 1995, although he certainly had a better idea than most, right? So our job here is really to just not bury our heads in the sand. You know, I'm using a lot of visual metaphors here today, so I'm going to do another one, right? I view artificial intelligence, you know, for Greencastle and how we do what we do, but also for broader industry, because our job really fundamentally is to enable large businesses to get better and stay ahead of the curve, right?
Right.
So we view this, I view this as a giant tidal wave barreling down on the shore, right? And in this case, if someone quite literally buried their heads in the sand, what's going to happen? You know, they can ignore it until it hits, but that they're going to get slammed and they're going to get wiped away by that tidal wave. And that's what artificial intelligence is, if you bury your head in the sand.
Right.
But if you don't, you can grab a surfboard, paddle out there, and ride one of the most legendary waves, you know, of a generation, essentially. So I think that's our job here, is to not bury our heads in the sand, to go out and embrace that and not be afraid of it, and to ride it, right? How you actually do that, it's going to involve a lot of being innovative and tinkering around and sharing best practices, being nimble and agile, not committing to saying, for sure, artificial intelligence is going to do X for us 10 years from now. If you commit too hard to that, you don't know. It might go another way.
Right.
But if you're constantly remaining nimble and agile and staying ahead of the curve, I think there's going to be an enormous amount of value unlocked by really, you know, one of the big things it's going to do is do a lot of those less value-add repetitive tasks much, much faster and more accurate, and really enable us to free up and focus on the new creative value-add stuff.
Staying innovative, staying on the pulse of what's going on here and technology and stuff is not just great for Greencastle, but it's great for our clients.
So absolutely.
That's a good look going forward. Yeah. You've been the president for a minute now. So what are some of the challenges and the surprises that you've already come or encountered so far?
So one of the biggest surprises that I found is for, you know, Greencastle as a company, one of the fundamental things we do for our clients is help create, document, and improve their processes. So, you know, that's a major part of my role, and one of the big surprises was just how few of our internal processes we actually have documented, or if they are, just non-standardized or non-centralized, right? That's not a ding on Greencastle. In fact, it's a totally natural thing for a company that's growing.
Right.
It takes time to document processes, and if they're getting reinvented faster than you can document them, I mean, luckily we have some very capable, creative people who are keeping us ahead of the curve.
Oh yeah.
But again, that's gotten us to where we are today. So that was the kind of surprise. Not shocking though, and I'm actually kind of thankful for it, because I don't know what I'd do, have a job, you know, otherwise. Like that's part of what I'm going to be doing. Like,
we're gonna
enable that consistency and that scalability with this.
What are some good habits and practices that you found that helped you personally in your growth is in the position that you're in?
Yeah, so something I've found over the course of my career so far is if you're good at what you do, it is inevitable that you will be overtasked. In fact, it's you should really, if you're a driven person that wants to grow, you should view it as a yellow flag if you're not overtasked. That means that folks around you aren't viewing you as having mastered your current duties yet, right? So kind of inherent into growing into roles and organizations is that you're going to have 20 pounds in a 10-pound sack, right? That's just the nature of the game. What I've found to be an extremely helpful tool to help deal with that, you know, natural fact, you know, step one, everyone's going to have this, like your daily checklist of items, right?
Right.
But you've got 20 items and only 10, you know, units worth of time to get that done in, right? 20 pounds, 10 pound sack. Right. How do you deal with that aspect? Clever little tool I found out a few years ago about. It's called an Eisenhower box. And really what that does is it really just lets you take those lists of tasks and help categorize them by how important and how urgent they are. And that lets you know really quickly in a visual way, this is what I got to do now versus this is what I can put off and do tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Versus this is what actually it needs to be done now, but I can delegate this. Somebody else could do this. It doesn't have to be me. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes what you'll find on that list is, hey, there's a few things in here that don't fit any of those categories. Mm-hmm. They don't actually really have to be done at all. How'd they even get on there in the first place, right? Yeah. So the Eisenhower box is just one of those little, call it like a corporate life hack tool for people who are finding themselves overtasked to really stay focused on the most important, most urgent value add tasks.
That's really cool.
It's, yeah. It's a quad chart, right? It's two boxes over two other boxes with, you know, imagine some axes that say important, you know, and urgent on the other side.
Right.
So it's important and urgent. Important and not urgent.
Right.
Not important and urgent. Not important and not urgent. I mean, the things that fall into that final box are the ones that you say, how'd this get on here in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So it really is. I mean, I have a whiteboard wall in my office, and I just have that four boxes on there. And anytime I get a new task, I go and pin it almost like a pin the tail on the donkey. It's like, which box is this falling in here?
Yeah.
And that just helps keep me on track.
That's cool. So very simple. For our broader audience, how do you balance your personal and professional commitments?
Yeah, that's an insightful question, especially for folks who are kind of driven and trying to grow on the professional side.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fortunate enough to be in some professional development groups, kind of mentor groups and things like that. And and just had a speaker recently open my eyes to that. They say, like, what are your top priorities, not for the company, but in life, you know? How much do you value, you know, your family and friends versus, you know, the work that you do? And obviously, it's you'd say, like, massively, right?
Right.
How purposeful are you about planning that compared to how much time you put into planning and being purposeful at work? It was really an eye-opening question. So, but again, I keep things simple. So to me, I'm like, okay, I know I got to be more purposeful and planful about prioritizing the personal side of this whole balance.
Right.
I just took the exact playbook that we're using on the business side, this EOS entrepreneurial operating system, and I said, how do we like cross out Greencastle and write Diamond Family, right? And just talk about our core values, talk about what we're trying to accomplish as a family, you know, over a period of time and this year, and really just kind of walk that in a similar way. And I mean, this is a radical thing. I'll tell you, I'm probably way more excited about it than my wife is. She's just kind of, she's tolerating my excitement around this. But I found it to be, check back in with me on a year or two if this is working out. But I've been really excited to see how that has been gaining traction in my personal life.
That's really cool. Yeah. I'll definitely want to check back in on the on things with you on that one. As we get ready to close this down, what would be some advice you would give your younger self? That should be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, definitely first and foremost, buy call options on Amazon and Apple. I'm slightly more serious, but still kind of ingest a comment here. I would tell my younger self to put a 2-minute delay on all outgoing emails. It's a really simple thing to do in Microsoft Outlook. It can save you a lot of heartache, you know, for varying degrees and reasons, which I won't get into here, but that would have been great.
Yeah.
Honestly, beyond that, there's not a lot I would tell myself to do differently, because even the pitfalls are learning opportunities, and it's helped me to get to where I am today, even if it hasn't been the cleanest path there all the time. So, I think that's been good, to just not regret the failures, but find them as learning points along the way.
Nice.
One thing I'll say. I just read this book recently in the last year. So actually our visionary Joe was the one that gave me a copy of it. It's called The Go-Giver. So a play on a go-getter, right? But a go-giver instead. Yeah. And really, I think I've kind of was living my life mostly this way before. And I think that's helped lead to a lot of the professional and career success that I've had. But to see it spelled out in a way, and so that if I could, you know, give that to someone else just starting off and be more purposeful and planful about it. It really is fundamentally about, don't go out there trying to like improve your own means and your own status and your own, like, focus on the value that you are giving to others exclusively, almost to a fault, almost to your own detriment. And know it kind of sounds weird, and it kind of sounds like karma or something the way I'm describing it, but it absolutely comes back around, right? Yeah. If your biggest goal is to increase your annual compensation, the last thing you should be focusing on is increasing your annual compensation. It should be on, what are the organizations that I'm serving, and how can I build more value to them? The more value that you give, the more indispensable you come. Naturally, the more your compensation goes up, and your reputation and your reach and all of the whole nine yards. So great book that really articulates my thoughts on it, The Go-Giver.
Yeah. Nice. That definitely fits in to our category of, like, what would be a good leadership thing to leave the audience with. So that's really good. Make sure you guys check that out. To end things out, I just want to ask, what's next for Greencastle? And I'm going to add a little extra nugget. What's next for Eric Diamond?
Yeah, so Greencastle, we've grown by 500%, and we're going to do it again. And not just for the means of haphazard growth, right? That's the thing that many businesses can kind of fall into, and you don't know why you're doing it, right?
Right.
Greencastle has something special. We've got a secret sauce, and we're going to use that, right? We have veterans, exclusively veterans, and we have found through the training, through the leadership experience, through the stress inoculation that you get there, that veterans make the best at serving organizations, at delivering strategy, at fighting through tough challenges and delivering, right? We are going to become the nation's premier strategy execution firm, delivering value for all kinds of Fortune 500 companies all across the country and eventually across the world.
Nice.
What's next for Greencastle? What's next for me is I'm honored to serve that and help achieve that one year at a time while working with the rest of the team and preserving this awesome culture that we have. I'm really honored and humbled for that opportunity.
Well, we are happy to have you continue your mission here at Greencastle because, like, as you said, with 500% growth in the last 5 years, that's phenomenal. I think most businesses would just want that, you know? That's phenomenal to have that. And then for you to be taking on this new position and to see how excited you are about it and everything like that, just feels good moving forward into the next 5 years with Greencastle. So thank you very much for not only your service, but your service here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I'm honored to be part of the team.
Definitely. Thank you so much. And thanks for joining us for another episode of Shots from the Winchester podcast, brought to you by Greencastle Consulting, your nation's premier strategy execution firm. And we'll see you in the next episode.